This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Near the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking to Catherine Keith, the author of a book called Epic Solitude, a story of survival and a quest for meaning in the far north. It's an absolutely fascinating book. She's so amazing. She's done, she's done so many things. She's one of these women who just is like nonstop looking for thrills, and she's been, going to be talking about her Iditarod journey that she's done, and she is just a fascinating woman. And, you know, I started reading this book, I'm going to tell her about it, I started reading this book one night when I was really cold here in Florida. We don't get cold here in Florida very often, and it was like 36 degrees, and I was thinking, this is terrible. And then I started reading her book, and she's talking about, I mean, negative 36 is pretty good there. So it's going to be really interesting to hear about from Catherine about what it means to be an endurance racer, and what it means that she's done this memoir to, she's found strength by writing. And this is one of the things that I've been telling you in at the beginning of the year here. If you're thinking of writing, if you're one of those dreamers that I talk about every time I start this show, all you have to do is start writing. And it might be, for example, in this case, it's a memoir. And it's a pretty difficult memoir because she's had a lot of tragedies in her life. She lost her husband. She lost her daughter. But she's written about it just by the writing of it. I think it helped her put her life in focus. And she's married again and trying to go on. And one of the things is she's written this book so that she can help other women to reach out, because this book is coming out here just at the time, you know, International Women's Day is coming up, and in a month. And so it's just her purpose. One of the purposes in her life now is to help other women. And you can do that too. People in your life, you can help sometimes just by being there, just by talking about what you've done, how you've accomplished something. But you can also just enjoy the process of writing and find that joy on paper that I talk about. So we're at the beginning of the year, and I'm sort of offering a little challenge. Any of you who are starting a book and you're going to be working on it all year, when you get to a point where you feel that you can really talk about it, just contact me, and I will be happy to invite you onto the program, and we'll talk about how you doing? What's your process? You don't have to be finished with your book, but I want you to be sort of like halfway through so that you have something to talk about and something perhaps to spur yourself on. Because sometimes when you start talking about the fact that you're writing a book, then you feel like, I really have to finish that book. And so all you have to do is go to my webpage, Radio Joy on Paper. There's a form there that you can fill out, and it will send me your question about anything about if you need help with ideas on how to do a query letter, I'll be happy to respond. Or if you have just simple questions, I will be happy to respond. Or I will link you to or send you a link to somebody who who knows what they're doing. For example, Angela Hunt, a local author here in our area in Clearwater, is Angela Hunt. If you are looking for a book on writing, you can't do better than to go to her website and check out some of her books, or to go to just to Amazon and check out her books on writing, because Angela is a brilliant New York Times bestselling author. So that's one of the things that you can do. And I do hope I hear from some of you. And also, at the same time, while you're on the webpage, Bill Larson is coming in 2 weeks, and he's going to be here, and we're going to be talking about intellectual property, what you have to do to protect it, and also just what you have to do to protect yourself. Because many people, and I hate to say this, some writers are getting in trouble because they are putting too much out there, and or they're putting things out there that they shouldn't be putting. So, or at least that will get them in trouble. So we will talk to Bill about what exactly you can say without getting yourself sued. And so it's going to be fun. And if you have intellectual property questions, please go to my webpage, radio-joy on paper, and fill in the form, and I will get your question, and I will answer it, or Bill will answer it. Now, it was so funny. 2 weekends ago, I got this wonderful, wonderful email from one of my favorite people, and it was just a thrill, because he was on the program on January 7th. I wanted to start the year off right, and I had him, Andrew Grant, on the program to talk about his new book, Too Close to Home, and his wife, Tasha Alexander. They were both on, and we started the year off right with a really great interview. And now, the news just broke, and he wanted to make sure that I heard about it early on, that he is going to be taking on the mantle of writing with his brother the Jack Reacher books. And that is exciting. That is really exciting. For those of you who don't know, Lee Child, that's Lee Child, who's been, of course, on Joy on Paper. His real name is James Grant. And Andrew Grant is his baby brother. So it's funny that, as a few, a year ago when I started hearing the rumors about Lee deciding to take his Jack Reacher to streaming video, I knew that it was going to be a big deal. And I actually expected that, I was thinking that Andrew, who I call Drew, I get to call him Drew because he said I could call him Drew, because he looks like a Drew to me. I don't know. The minute I saw him at BouchaCon, here in St. Petersburg, I saw him on stage with his wife and Lee. They were in a panel and they were talking. But every time I looked at Andrew Grant, I kept thinking, he looks like a Drew to me. I don't know why, but he does. And so I get to call him Drew. And anyway, so I thought, because he was in the theater in England, I thought perhaps he was going to become involved in the production of the television series. But in fact, Lee asked him to join in the writing of they just got a contract for 4 books of more Jack Reacher, and you never have enough Jack Reacher. And so they're writing those together and sort of passing on the mantle here. And of course, Lee Child has big feet, but his brother, although he's a baby brother, he's just as tall, can certainly fill those shoes. And so it's going to be exciting to see what they do. I'm sure they're not going to change the character too much. For people who, it's always funny when I talk to people who have only seen the movies, they don't know the character. But of course, for those of us who have read all 24 of the books, we know that Jack Reacher is actually 6'5" and 250 pounds. And he actually does not like running. So I think sometimes it's funny to think when when Tom Cruise read the books, he saw himself as Jack Reacher. Or he wanted to play Jack Reacher, which I think is very cute, since actually Jack Reacher does not like to run. But and of course, nobody, I don't think any actor is as good at running as Tom Cruise. Now, what I'm not sure what exactly they're going to be doing with the streaming video. I'm trying to imagine. I don't think there's an actor out there who today. I mean, I can't think of one actor who would be good enough to play Jack Reacher. 6'5", 250. I don't know. They're looking for. Gregory Peck. Of course, Gregory Peck had dark hair. And I think, you know, Lee Child, of course, is blonde. And I have a feeling there's a lot of Jack Reacher in Lee Child, or vice versa. And so I'm not sure if they're going to be looking for a blonde 6'5", 250-pound guy. I can't think of one today, not one actor today. I certainly hope they will in the new streaming video keep that in mind. But it is wonderful to hear that they got a wonderful 4-book deal, and they are with Inkwell Management. I don't know, and this Inkwell Management certainly were wow, those are happy people today to get a 4-book deal. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens, and I think he'll do a great job. Drew is a wonderful, wonderful writer. I love his writing. He's very, very, he's witty and he's clever, and of course he's grown up with the Jack Reacher books, and he knows his brother and the character so well. So I think he's probably not probably. I know he's going to do a great job, because he's just a good writer. And sometimes when you are so deep into a character and you've lived with the character for so long, certainly Lee, you know, has developed a character that is so iconic, and for Drew to take over this, you know, the writing of the books, I'm sure they're going to come up with some great plots. Lee always has, and Grant with his recent series his main character is a janitor who sort of in incognito is working in a federal court trying to do justice, and I suppose that's always what the same thing for Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher is and that's how Lee Child saw him, a knight, someone who comes into town, finds the problem and solves the problem, and sometimes there's some head bashing that goes on, but both Lee Child and of course Drew come from a sort of a classical background. Studied Latin, studied Greek, studied mythology, and so that's sort of all imbued in their thought process. And I know that it's going to be exciting to see, and I'm really so happy for both Andrew Grant and his wife Tasha Alexander, who, by the way, are going to be my guests for the 5th anniversary of Joy on Paper, which will be on St. Patrick's Day this year. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, which is interesting that 5 years ago when I started this program, it was also St. Patrick's Day. So I'm so thrilled that they are both going to join me again. We'll talk about both of their books, and we'll talk about this new project with his brother, and he's going to be called Andrew Child. So it's going to be a name change for him, which I would think is an interesting thing for him to think about. But it's really exciting, and I'm so happy for both of them, because they are just wonderful, wonderful people. As I said, I met them at BouchaCon, along with my bear, Pekka, the Yuper bear, and we all got together there, and it was really wonderful. So I'm really happy for them. And it's going to be, I'm looking forward to the first book. So so that's going to be coming out. And I also want to mention, you know, I've been getting a lot of, I do want to mention again, you know, Lee Child's last book was in November, was released in November, and it's called Blue Moon. And there was something funny in that book that, of course, that's where, if you, you know, one of the descriptions there is of how Jack Reacher doesn't like to run. Like, I repeated that a couple of times. I doesn't like to run. So it was, it's interesting. But Blue Moon is a really good book. So if you want to jump into a Jack Reacher book, that's a really great book. But you know, if when I think about it, and you go back and you look from the very, very beginning, it's really quite amazing how brilliant the series is, the Jack Reacher series is. And it starts with a book called The Killing Floor. And now that's 1999. That's a long time ago. And it still holds up. I had, of course, I read it at the time it came out, because I read everything. But it was funny. I decided to go back and reread it just to see. I was sort of trying to mentally think about what Andrew Grant is going to be doing. And I went back and I read it again. And I tell you, that is a fantastic book. No wonder it's just took off, because The Killing Floor is a really, really great book. And you might want to go back to that. And then jump into Blue Moon. And pretty soon we'll have the first Lee Child, Andrew Child book. Wow, this is going to be exciting for me. I hope I can get them both on the program for the release date, because that is going to be something really, really exciting. Now, I'm going to play a book buzz here, one of Rita Moreau's brilliant book buzzes. And the reason I'm doing this one is Brooke Allen is an author. This is the second in her trilogy. About Mark Antony, Marcus Antonius. And one of the things, if you are interested in, you know, if you're an indie author, I cannot recommend looking at anybody's website more than hers, because she's done a great job with her website, but look at the covers of her books. She has really professional, super covers for her books. They are so good. And this is what I tell all of you when I meet you at, you know, at book events, writing clubs, etc. I always say it is worth the investment to get a really great cover, because when you see her covers for her books, they look 100%, I mean, top notch. They're top notch. They could win prizes. And her name is Brooke Allen. There's two Brooke Allens. This is a problem. And so she's Brooke Allen without the E. Just, you know, without the E. Just B-R-O-O-K Allen. And, but I would check it out if I were you. And she's an example. She wrote for 11 years and didn't find an agent. Probably because she didn't know how to do it. You know, sometimes there is a process to it, and I will be happy to answer your questions, and I will talk about it over the next month or so, because I want more people, and I've got some agents coming on to talk about that query letter and how to get an agent. She didn't get an agent. She decided to self-publish, but she's done a very professional job of it, and so we're going to play this book buzz, and then when I come back, I'm just about getting ready to talk to Catherine Keith about Epic Solitude.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Antonius, Second in Command by author Brooke Allen. After providing himself as a formidable cavalry commander, Marcus Antonius finally earns a position at his kinsman Julius Caesar's side. However, Caesar is an exacting general, demanding complete allegiance from his staff, even when his decisions put him at odds with the Senate. Marcus's loyalty to Caesar comes at a cost, and he soon finds himself embroiled in mob violence and military mutinies. As civil war brings Rome's republic crashing down, many a relationship is torn asunder, including Marcus's marriage. Determined to rise triumphant in Rome's new era, Marcus faces his fears, his failures, and his enemies, not the least of whom is himself. Amid the crisis of the Ides of March, Marcus must don the mantle of ruthlessness to carve his own legacy in Rome's history. Enemies have been made, wills have been read, and heirs proclaimed. But in Rome's civil unrest, blood answers only to blood. Author Brooke Allen has a passion for ancient history, especially 1st century BC Rome. Antonius, Second in Command, by author Brooke Allen, is the second book on the life of Marcus Antonius.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am just waiting for a call in from, I think she's calling in from Alaska, Catherine Keith, who's the author of a book called Epic Solitude. It is a story of her life, and she has finished 6 Ironman triathlons. Wow, can you imagine that? I think most of us could do one-third of a triathlon, let alone finish 6 of them. So I'm really excited that I'm going to be talking to her about that and about the process of writing and finding that fulfillment in writing. So she should be calling soon. Meanwhile, again, I want to talk a little bit here. I mentioned it, and this is, you know, I'm getting more and more familiar with some of the problems that authors and new authors are facing. And one of the things is you really, really have to learn the craft of writing, and you also have to actually learn how to submit your work. So there are some wonderful books. Donald Moss is his books on writing are fantastic, and you spell his name M-A-A-S-S. His books are absolutely wonderful, and they will really help you to learn the craft of writing. Also, as I mentioned, Angela Hunt, who is just a wonderful author. She is one of these people. She has a course, and you can go to her website, and she has a course there that you can take. But in all of these cases, there are some basics you have to learn. There are basics that you have to follow, whether it's in the way you write, knowing what you're writing, and simple things that I had never thought to. Sometimes I, you know, I talk to writing groups, and I had not ever thought to tell people that one of the things you have to do, and really it's so funny in some ways because, you know, of course I read a lot, and I was writing, you know, years before the computer came along. So many people write on the computer, and they really, I mean, really do not print out their work. You know, if you write a 300-page book, it's on your computer, it looks really nice. It's 300 pages. But people don't actually print it out. I could not believe how many people, when I was talking at a recent writers group, they hadn't printed it out yet. I mean, and they're like finished with their book, and they're still working on it on the screen, and they have not physically print, like they're going to save money on 300 pages of paper. But you see things differently on paper than you see on the computer. You can read something on the computer 100 times and not see something that you will see on paper in one reading, simply because it's like Audible books. I love Audible books. I really do. I didn't like them until I read, until I listened to A Gentleman in Moscow. I just fell in love with A Gentleman in Moscow on Audible books by Amor Towles. And I just loved it. And so I said, okay, I love it. But I don't know if any of you have had this same thing. I can listen to an Audible book. I can listen to it once. I can listen to it twice. I've tried. I've been testing myself. I come away, although I love the book, I love the story, I'm engaged with the characters, I can't remember any of their names. If I haven't seen the names on paper, I can't remember them. I'm driving myself crazy. I recently was listening to a mystery, and it's a really great mystery. I really like the story. I like the characters. I liked everything. For the life of me, not even for a moment, can I visualize the names, let alone, I just can't. And so this is something that's really funny. Our minds we have these specialized neurons in our brain, and each one holds something. You know, everything, all those brain cells in there have their own... They have a reason to be there, and they have their own job to do. And sometimes they just don't connect. And so I was at a meeting, and there were about 11 people who had finished their book. There were more people there, but 11 people had finished their book who had not printed it out. I was like, what? What are you doing? Print the book out. I'll give you the paper. Print it out. And this reminded me of something else, someone else who was looking for an editor. And so they've gone to different editors, and different editors have run their book through, they run it through these programs, these grammar programs. This is not editing, okay? Let me just tell you, running your book through a grammar program, that's not editing. That's just not editing. You have to print it out. So if you're going to hire an editor, and the editor says, send me, the file, and they don't ask for hard copy, I wouldn't hire them. Because a really good editor always wants a hard copy, because an editor knows that our eyes work in a different way on paper. And of course, it has to be double spaced. Please, people, if you're going to print something out, double space it so that you, of course, it's important so that you can make notes, but it's also important because your eyes will see it more clearly. And so this is one of the things that I'm hoping that This year, I'm going to make an effort really to try to get out there and talk to more and more authors, because you have to have these sort of basic things, using double spacing, printing out your work and reading it and correcting it by hand. Now, you know, Tolstoy could write his book by hand. Margaret George, who wrote Henry VIII, all 800 pages, 860 pages, I think, 863, something like that, she wrote it by hand. So you can print out your book and correct it by hand. And this is the best way to learn, because when you see it on paper and you correct it, you say, okay, that's the way it's supposed to look. So, you know, I don't know. There's so many things that you have to learn as an author. That's a really basic. And if you are just starting off and you don't have any experience, I'm just telling you, if you are doing any historical book or sci-fi book, I really recommend, or anything based on with really history, use Scrivener. Skip Word and go straight to Scrivener. It's cost, I think, $19. It's one of the cheapest programs that you can buy. It's maybe $24 now. I think when I bought it was $19. It allows you to do so much. It keeps you have character files, so you can keep track of all your characters. Again, this is one of the things I've discovered. Authors don't understand that when a book goes to a publisher, the publisher creates a Bible, and that is they have a list of everything that's happening, every location, every person in the story. And this is something you, as an author, really have to have, so that you know who has green eyes, who has blue eyes, who has blonde hair, who has what age they are. All of this is something. It's not enough to just write the book. You have to have that sort of on the side and keep a record of this. And if you do it right from beginning, say you're going to write a series, if start right. And it's like anything. If you start it right, it just makes the rest of your life so easy. So this is one of the things. Well, we are waiting, and Big Ed in the control room, no call? Well, I don't know what's happening in Alaska, but Big Ed, why don't you pull out for me, and I'll introduce this too, because this is another author that I've been thinking about. It is BookBuzz number 12, and it is a BookBuzz for Bonsu Brandvik. Now, Bonsu Brandvik, you know, we had this absolutely beautiful hotel here in Bel Air, and they tore it down. Do you have it ready? And we're going to play this promo for her book, and then I'll talk to you more about her.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with Book Buzz. Do you enjoy a mystery set in another time and place? How about the Roaring Twenties? Then Ripples, Spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore by Bonsu Brandvik is a mystery for you. Here's the buzz. Liliana Throne still suffers from serious injuries she received in the car accident that took the life of her son 3 years ago. When she learns her grandmother has only a few days to live, she grabs the first flight to Florida and checks into the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. Her marriage is in ruins, and she's plagued with horrific nightmares of the accident and visions of her late son. So the last thing she needs is spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore invading her dreams to share their memories from the Roaring Twenties. But soon the spirits teach her that death is not as black and white as she believed it to be, and neither is love or marriage. The Bellevue Biltmore Hotel, 95% of this hotel was demolished in 2015, is the inspiration and setting for Bon Sue's Spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore novel series. By capturing and preserving the essence of the historic Bellevue Biltmore Resort, the author hopes memories of the grand hotel will live on for many generations to come. So transport yourself today with Bon Sue Brandvik's Ripples, Spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore, and relive the memories of the Grand Ode Hotel. Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Hey, it's Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
Oh, I love that one. It's just always so much fun to have Rita come here into the studio, and I call her One Take Rita. She's absolutely fantastic. It was like she was born to be in front of a mic, and she just comes in here and she just boom rattles them off like that, and she's really, really great, and I really appreciate it. And the one of the reasons I wanted to play this one today, well, one first of all, when I come to the studio, I drive through the golf course, and that's where the beautiful, beautiful Bellevue Biltmore Hotel was. And as Rita said in the promo, it was torn down, or most of it was torn down. They saved a little piece of it. I don't know. They probably had some requirement, because they certainly... They took apart this hotel. It was an amazing hotel, absolutely beautiful, where so many famous people came. I think there were five presidents, and just all sorts of very, very famous people came there, including Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, and my favorite, and someone I think about every time I drive. There's still the old road. That sort of winds through the golf course. And I always look there, and I always try to imagine Babe Ruth playing golf out there, and in his knickerbockers. And he loved golf, and he particularly loved this golf course, because it's a really great golf course. And there he would be playing the game that he loved the most, which is so funny, because everyone thinks that he loved baseball the most, but it was actually golf. In those days, they didn't make the kind of money they're making today. So, of course, he played baseball, but he loved golf. And in fact, many, many of the wonderful golf courses across the country, and particularly the ones in the city or on the edge of the cities, are because whenever he went to town, any town, he wanted to play golf, and all the cities wanted him to come. So many places built golf courses just to try to encourage him to come out, because, of course, if he came to play golf, everybody else wanted to play golf. And it wasn't, you know, popular with the common man in those days. Golf was sort of supposed to be for the elites, but he made it a game for the everyman. And so that's one of the, I just get such a kick out of it. It's such a beautiful drive. Just the way it just winds through the golf course, and it's just wonderful to think of Babe Ruth out there. So I want to talk a little bit about Bon Sue Brandvik. One of the nice things, and you really should visit her website. Now, I'm going to tell you, she is a warrior. When they first announced that they were going to close the hotel, she did everything she could to try to save the hotel, to have them renovate the hotel, have them declare it a national landmark, because it was the largest wood structure resident building in the United States. I mean, it was enormous. And I cannot tell you how, unless you go to Bon Sue's website, you don't know how beautiful it was, because she did something absolutely remarkable. When she was all the time, she started a committee, she started groups, she started protests, she did all sorts of things trying to save the hotel. from developers, and she almost was successful. If it wasn't for the 2008 financial disaster here in Florida, perhaps the hotel would have been saved. But what she decided to do is record everything about the hotel. That's why she started writing the books. The first book was Pearls, and it was set at the beginning of the opening of the hotel and explains, and the story follows along that line about how the hotel was built and all of this, and it's called Pearls. And she decided to go into the hotel. You know, the hotel was closed, but she snuck into the hotel, and she took photographs of everything, every corner of that hotel. She went downstairs into the basement, and the enormous basements. I mean, that's where, you know, they stored everything. She went into the attic. She went into rooms hidden behind chimneys. She went everywhere and recorded this because she knew that once it was, you know, the wrecking ball came and it did come, all of that history would be lost. And so she had sort of a double goal. She wanted to photograph everything, and she also wanted to write the story about the different eras of the hotel. And that's why it's absolutely fascinating. Pearls is about the beginning of the hotel. I'm not sure which one my favorite, but I do like Redemption because that is set during World War II when the hotel was taken over by the military. Because, of course, Florida was the area here where the pilots were trained. And so the hotel was taken over, and is a fascinating book. And I really love that book. And she's working on the final one, which will be the destruction of the hotel. I don't know when that will come out. I think that's one of the things that it's hard. You know, it's hard when you're writing about it and a building that you've loved so much and know so well. But her website is called Bransu Brandvik, 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 and you can go there. You can see a story about the hotel. It was really quite an amazing, amazing. I had the pleasure of going there many times, and it was just something special. What I like to do was just to sit on my boys were having golf lessons at the golf club, and I would sit with a book, of course, what else, on the wide veranda and just read. And it was just an absolute joy. And then to imagine all of the people who sat there before me. I mean, just to think I'm sitting where Henry Ford was sitting, or I'm sitting where Babe Ruth was sitting, or different presidents. So it was something special. And it was a big loss to the area. And certainly they didn't replace it with anything to compare to it. And so it's a shame, but it is definitely something you would want to see and go and check out her books. Her books are fascinating. Each story, as I said, tells about a different era of the hotel. And there's a main story about a guest arriving at the hotel. And then there's a sort of always a little subplot there about a ghost. And that way we can bring in some of the old characters who made the hotel so very special. And so she's done a great job with that. And so it's a little bit of paranormal, and why not? Paranormal is always fun. And so that's one of the authors that I highly recommend that you read, and just be grateful that somebody cared so much. And this is, you know, one of the things is, if there's something in your life, if there's a town that you loved, a building that you loved, you know, think about writing a story about it, because that can keep at least the memory, the history of it alive for future generations. Not many people are warrior writers like Bransu, and she spent a great deal of time and energy trying to protect that hotel. But she certainly has done it in words, and it's well worth reading her books and to be grateful that we have authors like that. It takes passion. All the great authors have passion. They care about something. They want to get some idea across. Now, I don't know what happened to Catherine Keith today. I'm sure I'll rebook her, but we'll find out. But, you know, she has passion, I can tell you. It's really quite amazing just to read about her. And the book actually comes out. We were talking about it a few days beforehand because it comes out, I think, February 2nd. Anyway, I will get her back because I think that it's going to be fascinating to talk to her about it. And I don't know. My girlfriend has one of these dogs, and one of the nice things about this book, you usually don't get this. They have really color photos in the center, and I see why they did it because, of course, the huskies that she used for the Iditarod race. Are there, and there's one particular one called Rambo who has blue eyes, big, beautiful dog, and my girlfriend has a dog like that. But I wonder if huskies suffer from being in the heat, because of course with her, I felt sorry for my son the other day when a week ago, he was saying, you know, the wind chill factor is negative 17. And I thought, yeah, that's bad. But then she writes about actually plowing through snow and ice and, you know, negative 30 degrees. But so it's hard for us here in Florida to imagine it because we were really freezing. Everybody in my building was, oh, it's so cold, it's so cold. And it was like 38 degrees or something like that. And it's funny because I'm a Youper and I was born in the Northern Peninsula of Michigan. And I just discovered something funny. I did not realize that that part of Michigan is part of the largest lava flow in the world. And so that if you look at Michigan, we have two thumbs. We have the upper and the lower one. And the upper one, where I'm from, the Keweenaw Peninsula, it's a lava flow. And I didn't know that. You know, I lived there. I was born there. But that's, so I've been living on a lava flow. I don't know where the volcano part is. I hope it's far away. But I did not understand that. And it was so funny when I just got a book about Northern Michigan, and I'm going to try to find that author too and get her on to talk about it, because this is interesting. I guess that's, you know, of course, we had a lot of iron in Michigan and in Northern Michigan. Of course, there were the iron mines, and but it comes from this lava flow, the largest in the world. I would have thought, if somebody had asked that on Jeopardy, I would have said, where's the largest lava flow? I'd have said Hawaii. I had no idea it was Northern Michigan. So you learn something every day. Isn't that exciting? Anyway, this has been a fun day today. I get to talk all day. And luckily, my throat has held up because, you know, everybody has had sore throats around here. But I'm very happy that I got to talk a little bit. And I do want, again, just to remind everybody, I will have, over the next 2 months, I'm going to have a number of agents, literary agents here, to talk to you about how to write query letters and how you can get an agent if you so choose. Because, you know, it still helps to have an agent if you can. But if you can't, you can do it yourself too. So don't think that you can't, because I know many, many people who are great successes and have sold lots and lots of books without an agent. So never give up. Oh, and one of the wonderful bits of news is Eugenia Lovett West is going to be on Joy on Paper on February 20th. When I talk about it's never too late, She's 97 years old. Well, she's going to be 97 years old on February 20th, and she's going to be my guest, and we're going to talk. And her books are, her last book was about cybercrime. So I'm telling you, if a 97, 96-year-old person can write a book about cybercrime, a mystery, and a really good mystery, you can write too. So it's just always so exciting. And that's one of the things, you know, again, I want to say to all of you out there, it's just the beginning of the year. So this last time I'm going to say it until sort of mid-June, I'm going to then come back and say how many of you started and how many of you are ready to come on the program. And I will have a day. We'll have a whole hour. We'll bring in a bunch of people to talk about the books that they've started writing. But you have to start writing. So if you start writing now, send me a note, and sometime in June or July, I'll have a bunch of you in here to talk about it. Okay? Now, that's it. I think I'm just about running out because now, see, I usually don't have to do all the talking. I mean, that's one of the nice things about having guests. I get to ask questions and they get to talk a lot. So this time I've had to talk for the entire hour. I think this is the first time. Is that the first time I've done that, Ed? Ed is shaking it. The first time I've done the whole hour all by myself. Did I do okay? Yeah? Okay, he's smiling. Okay, to get a smile out of Ed. That is great. That makes me feel good. He's so wonderful. He really is so good. Ed, I really do appreciate. I know you know, you're tremendous and you work so hard and you're always so busy. But everybody who comes to the studio loves Ed because he is really, really a wonderful person.
Well, we'd just like to keep you on the air.
Okay, thanks, Ed. He's a great guy. And, I should have done that Johnny Clark thing because you taped that, and that was one of the best, I think. It should be an award winner.
We can close with that.
Okay, why don't we close with that? Because this is one that Ed taped himself. It is a wonderful, wonderful promo, and I just want to tell everyone that this is an example of how talented Ed is, and he's done this wonderful promo for Johnny Clark, who's been in the studio many times, and all of you, just listen to it, enjoy, and start writing, because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. So here we go. We're going to go off with Johnny Clark.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8. It's 1946, and President Harry Truman has two goals in life. Dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do. A little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all, even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You Hope, written by a true American hero. You'll love this book, now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
Okay, bye-bye.